He's Braden Gall. I'm Jason Fitz. Julian Council producing. It's Braden and Fitz on ESPN 102.5 The Game. As you guys know, we've been sort of all over the sports world this morning. We've given you some hot takes, hot takes on the Louisville scandal and the NCAA ruling. Had some great guests on that. We've also given you some of our thoughts on the much-anticipated fight.
And we're going to spend at least an hour and a half breaking down the College World Series.
Or not. We'll chat about that in a minute.
I'm going to get you into this thing one way or the other, my friend.
You're going to make me a college baseball fan.
Not a fan, just a fan of the College World Series.
Okay, that's fair.
I don't need you to watch regular season games.
Okay, just the World Series. Okay, so like most people do with the NBA, you just pay attention during the playoffs.
It's eight teams coming together. Middle America, baby. Land of meats.
Well, we'll get to that in a minute. But before we do that, really excited for this one. We've talked so much to so many guests over the past month, really, about unexpected contributions in this Pred Stanley Cup playoff run. And it was such a key part of it. And in the process of talking to Pete Weber and guys smarter than us, one of the things they've all taken the time to do is credit Dean Evason, Milwaukee Admirals head coach. And we have the chance now to talk directly to Coach Evason. Coach, we appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for coming on the show with us, my friend.
Thanks for having me, guys.
I want to talk to you a little bit about, obviously for the city, this was a special run. For you as a coach, when you're watching some of the guys that you've been such a key part of developing this year come up and play so well in the Stanley Cup playoff run, what does that mean to you?
Well, it means a lot to everybody in our organization. I mean, obviously, everybody in Milwaukee was so excited about the run, and right from the ownership group there to the staff, the trainers, all us coaches, the players. I mean, I had our players texting just, boy, did you see Freddie Gaudreau, or did you see Pontus, how well he did? And everyone was very excited. And, there's no question that our coaching staff, we feel, very proud of the way that the guys conducted themselves, the way that they played. And not only as hockey players, you saw them on the ice, but I guarantee if you talk to people around the team, they would tell you what a great person Freddie Gaudreau is and how easily they all fit in, to the system in Nashville and Lavi's system. So a great credit to obviously the individuals that did perform, but no question our entire staff in Milwaukee feels very proud and excited.
Coach, not that you need to motivate young men to achieve their ultimate dream in life, which is to play in the NHL, but it's got to be just a little bit easier when their chances to go to the Stanley Cup final, right?
Yeah, I don't know if a lot said about the guys, the Black Aces that are skating there every day. And, we're over at Centennial and the big clubs over at Bridgestone, and they're skating, and Freddie Gaudreau was skating for 2, 3, 4, almost a month with us, and every day grinding, not knowing what he's going to do and where he's going to go. All of a sudden he gets that shot, and he's prepared because of the work that he's done, and motivated because of the work that he's done, and feels that he's done enough, within the group. So, some of the guys that didn't get a chance, Granberg was over there, Carrier was over there, Kamenev was over there. Bass was over there. These guys, they were skating hard, getting prepared, ready to play. And when Freddie got his opportunity, certainly was motivated to play and played very well.
Hey, a lot has been made. Peter Laviolette has talked about this, his relationship with you, his trust in allowing you to make the decisions and how that process goes. And you mentioned Gaudreau obviously comes up, wins 10 out of 14 faceoffs in Game 5 against Anaheim, right when they needed that exact thing in the dot. In that moment, a lot has been made of how you and he, Peter Laviolette's relationship works. Is that a normal relationship? Does the normal head coach of the NHL team call his affiliate and say, "Hey, just give me a player that fits this"? Or is that normal, or is that a unique situation with you and Lavi?
Well, I know Barry Trotz and I had a very good relationship as well, but Lavi is no question wonderful for and with us. And having said that, he's not calling us every day and saying, do this, do that. He's just communicating. He's allowing us to do our thing. We are communicating with him it's not a daily basis. I deal with Paul Fenton on a daily basis. Him and I are the ones that go back and forth. Paul will take it to Lavi, but when the decision has to be made to call somebody up, Lavi will call and say, Paul, just say, call Dean directly, and we'll talk to our staff, to their staff, and it'll be, this guy went out, who do you recommend? And it's always, it's not always the best player. It's not always the guy that has the best stats. It's the guy that fits into that role. We understand the role of each individual on Peter Laviolette's team. We understand what each player on our team, his role is. So a lot of times, maybe it's a fourth line guy. Maybe it's not your number one defenseman. Maybe it's a grittier, tougher, bigger, stronger defenseman. So, Lavi and the staff had confidence in us, and they gave us that confidence. There's no question our relationship, our communication within the whole organization, certainly with Lavi and myself, is very, very good.
You're listening to Braden and Fitz on ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're talking to Milwaukee Admirals head coach Dean Evason. So, Coach, let me ask you, in that sense, part of what you just talked about was your great relationship also with Coach Trotz. How much of a challenge has it been for you as a coach to sort of adapt things in the farm system to go from what Trotz needed to what Coach Lavi needs?
Yeah, it's a good question, because a lot of people think, well, you know, you've got to play exact system as the parent club is playing, and do everything that that they're doing to a T, and that's not necessarily true. In Lavi's situation, when he first got there, he came to us and said, listen, you can play whatever system you want. Clearly, I would like you to play our system so that the guys are prepared to play. It only makes sense to play the same system. It doesn't give an individual an opportunity to show very well. If he's got to get called up from Milwaukee to Nashville, and all of a sudden he's got to think about where he's supposed to be on the ice, he's not going to play at his best and just react in different situations. So we play the same system as the Nashville Predators. We tweak it a little bit to fit with the American Hockey League structure, as far as three games and three nights, and we've got more practice time and what have you. There's different tweaks that we have within our system. But we play the same system, so our guys are prepared to play exactly how Peter Laviolette wants his group to play when they do get called up.
Coach, we've had lots of people on Twitter ask us this to make sure we ask you this, and we all know that Vladislav Kamenev is an extremely talented player, but I've got to ask you because everyone wants me to, and that is, what are his chances of developing into the player he needs to be a starting player on that roster next year?
His chances are great to do that. Kevin Fiala had all the potential in the world. He took time. It's taken time for Kevin to mature, to get to be the player that he is. Pontus Aubrey has the talent. Took him time. It's taken Cammy time to get to develop. You forget that when he first came over, he didn't speak any English. So he's had to adjust the last few years, couple of years, with not only on ice, but off ice. He's matured as a person. He's grown as a person. He's growing into his body physically. What Cammy needs to do is gain one step, and it's not a big step as far as his speed is concerned. He's big. He's strong. He's competitive. He's physical. He has all the tools, as you guys know. And it's just taking time. He'll mature. He'll be there. It may not be right at the start. It may be of the season. It may be halfway through. But Cammy can play in the National Hockey League. There's no question about it. He's going to have a wonderful summer of training. His speed will be better. We believe he'll be a Nashville Predator in a very short time.
Coach, let me ask you, from a coach's mind, obviously big news today, and we're really happy for Coach Housley moving on to become the head coach for Buffalo. What does that loss mean for the coaching staff in Nashville in your mind?
I don't think a lot. Certainly a lot. Howie's a tremendous coach. You don't replace a Hall of Fame defenseman and a great coach easily, but I'm sure Lavi has a thought process on that they're going through, him and Kevin McCarthy, on who they want in that position, as well with David Poile and Paul Fenton. And they'll find the right fit to fit there. But certainly We are all ecstatic for Howie. He's a wonderful person and a great coach. He'll do real, real well.
Coach Evison, we can't say enough about your fantastic work this season, everything that it's meant to the city and the organization. Thank you so much for taking some time this morning to be with us.
Okay, guys. Thanks for having me.
Great stuff from Milwaukee Admirals head coach Dean Evison, who, again, every smart mind we continue to talk to, and part of our goal is to admit that we want to talk to smarter people in every sport that we cover.
Just in general in life.
Just, that's a
smart
life rule.
Things to do.
But it's amazing to hear Coach Evison come in and have so many high things to say, and it's part of why, with the expansion draft and the upcoming fear that so many people feel about who's going to be lost, it's part of why we don't feel lost in that process. We'll tell you why. We'll do that next up. Braden and Fitz, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Don't forget, two parks for one low price. Go to thegamenashville.com now. Get two adult tickets for the price of one to Beach Bend Amusement Park and Splash Lagoon Water Park. Beach Bend offers entertainment sure to please every member of your family. Thrill rides, water slides, lazy river, and over 40 rides and attractions. Plus, free parking, free sunscreen. Go to thegamenashville.com. Get two tickets for the price of one. Do it today. So make sure you get out there and take care of that. And speaking of taking care of, you're going to get the on Sunday, we're going to get the protected list. So I think we all know what Monday's entire show is going to be, breaking down the protected list. We all know that. But, again, I have to stress
to miss that.
Just as Dean Evison just came on with us from the Milwaukee Admirals, the reason we have no fear, think of the names that Dean just listed off. Again, we got to keep saying this to you guys. When you're listing off names like Sissons and Auberg and Freddie, all those guys that now you're saying, oh, I don't want to lose them. And a few months ago, you didn't even know who they were. So there's a point where you got to trust the Kamenev is a great name of somebody everybody's all hyped up about in the farm system. The Milwaukee Admirals have done a great job of developing talent, and I think that there's enough of a young core that we shouldn't be worried.
It's the same way we talk about what this Preds run was all about, right? It was about the coaching staff pulling the levers, the players pulling their weight, the unsung heroes, the city and the fans and the organization. Like, it was every part, right? Coming together with the Hollywood aspect that made this big, fantastic spectacle that it was on national TV, right? It was all the things. Well, the reason the Preds have a good structure in this situation is because of all of the things. It starts with David Poile and the scouting department doing a great job evaluating and seeing talent. It's Paul Fenton and the Peter Laviolette and the professional coaching staff teaching a certain style of hockey and developing talent. It's Dean Evison and the Milwaukee Admirals and the way they coach and develop talent. It's every step along the way and all of those parts working together to find and develop really good young players. And they have had a long track record of doing that. And you heard him say he had a good relationship with Barry Trotz too. And how did the Predators win anything in the first, let's say, 10 years of their existence, 12 years of their existence? It was overachieving with guys that they sort of found in the draft, right? Like, it wasn't, they weren't going out and, I mean, yes, they went out and got a couple of guys, the Koreas and the Forsbergs of the world that they went out and signed, but the good players that they found, for the most part, they just developed and they found the overachievers. I don't like using diamond in the rough because I think it's stupid, but they would find the overachiever, the guy that was better than the draft value, and then develop him into a guy that was going to start and play for you. And that system with Trotz worked. Now it's on a whole nother level. Now it's 20 years later and they're developing elite level, high level guys, especially along the defense. I mean, that's where they develop their own guys into superstars. They've gone out and got Forsberg. They went out and got Neil. They went out and got Johansson. I think they traded for Yarncroke, and they got Fisher as well in a trade. So a lot of the big names they've traded for. But you're starting to see now the forwards come up through the ranks. And that's really a lot of fun to watch and makes it very exciting when names like Kamenev are everyone knows the name because he's this big, burly, massive center that could be the next great star on offense. That's a fun, exciting thing to have.
And it was going to take a couple years for that young talent from forward-wise to develop into the system. So I think it makes sense that many of those names were traded for, and now we're seeing the development of young stars that matches the development of the defensemen. So speaking of development, you're going to make me a college baseball fan?
I don't know if this is going to happen, but I'm going to try. And I know okay. Julian's on board with this because he's okay. A huge college baseball fan as well. You don't have to watch the regular season. I get it. I know you're not a baseball fan in general, but what did we talk about with marketing about the NHL just a couple days ago? Lack of personality,
right, for
Major League Baseball, and the reason PK Subban is disliked by certain markets is that because he has such a big personality, right? I think the College World Series in Omaha represents all of the things that Major League Baseball needs to add to the equation. It is, you know, these weird choreographed dances and these odd celebrations, and it's just flair. It's personality. It's kids playing a game because they love it. It's eight teams coming together, eight different fan bases from all over the country. And this year, you should watch this year because you have eight powerhouse brands. It's all big boys. It's all Goliath versus Goliath. It's big-time SEC programs, big-time ACC programs, big-time West Coast programs, big-time Texas programs, all coming together. Also, the greatest steak you'll ever have in your life for like $15 everywhere in Omaha, which is just an added little bonus. So I'm going to come back with a heart problem, but that's fine. It's not my first rodeo.
I do love Omaha, and we helped open the new college baseball stadium when they opened it
TD
a few
Ameritrade,
years ago.
Yeah.
So we played there,
and now it's located right downtown. I know it doesn't have the charm of Rosenblatt Stadium, which I've been to in the College World Series as well, but this one is right downtown next to all the hotels. The major fan fest is there. All the bars and restaurants are right there and walking distance. It's very accessible. The city is really genuinely a wonderful place during the College World Series because they open their arms for it. But I'm telling you, the game on the field is so special because it's just 25 kids fighting for their life to win a championship that they never thought they could win. When you add the flair and the personality, Coastal Carolina won last year. They did it with flair and style and celebrations and personality and all of these things that we're asking Major League Baseball, why aren't you like this? That's what the College World Series gives you. So I'm telling you, give it a chance. Okay. I know you got time this weekend.
I got Saturday. I got Saturday. I'm home on Saturday.
You got two big games. I mean, Oregon State's obviously got some off-the-field issues, but they're the best team in college baseball in 50 years from a record standpoint. So watch that team. LSU is just – the fans will be out in full force for LSU. Keep an eye on them. I think LSU might be the team to beat in Omaha. But, man, it's so much fun watching these kids play baseball. And it reminds me of being like – a 6 or 7 or 8 year old kid when I was playing Little League. It just they play with such passion and intensity. It's so much fun. Just give it a shot, see what it feels like, and just give it a shot for
okay.
me. Just
okay.
try it.
I'll put
you
it on Saturday.
You and Nashville, just try it, and then we'll recap what you saw next week.
Are the stadiums like? Is it packed in there?
Packed. For Coastal, and I talked to some of the kids from Coastal Carolina just last week. Did some interviews with some of those guys that played on that team, and they're like, Alex Box Stadium at LSU is special, but when you walk out in TD Ameritrade in front of 30,000 people and the kid who pitched the final game, the championship game, he walks off the mound to his coach walks up to him and goes, because he told me the story, he goes, my coach walked up to him and said, great job, we're going to pull you out, you know, we're going to bring in the reliever here. You're about to get a standing ovation. You soak it up because you'll never experience this the rest of your life.
That's
and
so
he's
cool.
like, what are you talking about? And he turns around, walks off the mound, and 35,000 people are standing and cheering. All teams. All fans of every team standing and cheering this kid, 20 years old, walking off the mound to the dugout in Omaha. It is a special experience.
It's a heck of a sales pitch.
I'm asking you, just give it a shot, man. Just give it a shot.
It sounds very similar to what the Olympics manages to do. The Olympics manages to bring everybody together, and even if you don't love the sport, you watch it because there's a flair and sportsmanship to it and camaraderie to it.
It's what Major League Baseball desperately needs, I think.
Now, I agree with that. I mean, I think if Major League Baseball is going to find a way to get common, everyday non-fans to watch, they're going to have to do more things like that.
Like, there was a moment in the Louisville, Kentucky Super Regional where Kentucky player, I think it was a Kentucky player, hits a home run and immediately is just pointing to his dugout and celebrating and dancing down the first baseline. He's not disrespecting anybody. You know what I mean? He's not looking at the pitcher and showing him up, but it's just pure joy and adulation and celebration. And, like, they got a little chippy after that. And that's what baseball needs. It needs some of that.
Julian Council, will you be watching the College World Series at home, or do you go to a bar to do this?
Watch party?
I'll be watching at home.
Cal State Fullerton watch party.
Right now, I'm just so heartbroken thinking about the College World Series. Yeah.
But you'll still watch it out of love of the game?
I guess.
Well, Florida State's a great story.
But I don't want to watch it. I don't want to watch it.
Oh, you sound hurts. Like my little four-year-old right
I
now.
I watched three Carolina players get drafted in the first round, and I'm like, we had a good enough team to be in Omaha, and now we're not.
And baseball's so random. It's sort of like the Stanley Cup playoff in that sense, that it's just so random.
Hot pitcher.
You run into a team. You get a bad bounce. It's just crazy.
These Johnny come latelys, man. Guys who suck who stink all year, and then all of a sudden, like, they get a meaningful
hit.
Well,
nobody cares about this, but TCU's pitching was really good, but it wasn't all season. All of a sudden, it's good, and now they're there. And so it's like Florida State's interesting. Mike Martin, the head coach, has been there 16 times. Florida State was in the Metro Conference for 11 years. He coached in the Metro Conference. Nobody in the city even remembers Florida State being in the Metro Conference. So
that's amazing.
Florida, 16 times he's been to Omaha, has never won. So that would be a big story. So there's, I mean, there's, it's just such powerhouse programs that I think the baseball is going to be high, high level. It'll be very, very fun. And again, I'm just asking Nashville, give it a shot, see what you think. You know, the finals are not till next weekend, but just give it a shot, see what you think. It's a really special event, and it's one of my favorite events to be.
Just root for Jimmy Schlossnagel and TCU.
Yeah,
that's such a fun name to say,
and it's just
he's
Schloss.
A son of Elon, so I'll root for him.
Schlossnagel.
It's just Schloss if you know.
No, I want the whole name. I want Schlossnagel. That's more fun to say.
There's a Vanderhook.
We're obviously proud of the work we get to do in some awesome outlets. Nationally, and so Braden is going to go to Omaha.
Yeah, going to catch a flight, actually.
Going to catch a flight. He's going to go cover the College Baseball World Series like nobody else can. You know,
Sunday morning, though, I'm waking up and looking at that expansion list.
Yeah, well, you better be. We'll cover it here. You go catch a flight and go, you know, go cover some baseball, and we'll catch it from here. We'll take care of it. But just once, you want to yell in Omaha for me? You said it so common, like, I didn't get
no,
one.
No, you do it better.
Omaha! Omaha! That's how you just say that once.
I'm about to jump on a flight, too.
Omaha! There we go. Terry Crispy going to join us up next. We'll get into all things expansion, all things Preds, and just all things just fun with Terry Crisp. We'll do that next up. Crispy going to join us on Braden and Fitz, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. I'm Jason Fitz, Julian Council producing. You're listening to Braden and Fitz, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. One of my favorite guys that we get to talk to, always one of my favorite segments of the week. It's one of the best parts about Friday, honestly. Pete Weber, brought to you by, Pete Weber. I can't even read. I know, I just did that to you.
Really?
See, the problem is I'm Ron Burgundy, Terry Crisp, and I read whatever's in front of me, and I had an old script in front of me, Terry. You know I love you, Crispy. But
hey, listen, fellas, you got just hang on one second. You have a second. He just said, hi, we're bringing on one of our best buddies, Pete Weber. Listen. Pete, say hi to them.
Did they make a mistake?
Hello, guys.
It's really scary.
I said it. See, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Crispy, we're going to give everybody a sneak peek behind the curtain. There's two sponsors, Rodizio Grill, the Brazilian steakhouse located on historic 2nd Avenue, downtown Nashville, and Global Motorsports in Bellmead and Cool Springs, globalmotorsportsinc.com. I don't usually read the Global Motorsports part of it because Braden does. He just left for the airport, so I had to pull up the Global Motorsports quickly in my email, and
gotcha.
It said the name Pete Weber on top of it as my reminder. So, again, okay. I'm Ron Burgundy. If I see it, I read it, Crispy. This is why they. I'm surprised they let me on live radio, my friend.
So he's going to the College Baseball World Series.
He was
trying to take you with you.
Well, he's going to the College Baseball World Series, and so he left me alone. And obviously, it took all of 30 seconds for me to drop the ball. That's what's happened.
You're such an amateur.
I am an amateur. This is amateur hour. So
you want Crispy back?
Yeah, we'll take Crispy back. What the heck? We'll just let this thing go however it goes.
Here he is. Thank you.
This is live radio. It's live radio.
You guys must be psychic.
Well, Crispy, you know, you are one of my favorites, I promise. And I tell you that all the time.
If you're going to call me something different, that's the best name you can come up with for me is Pete Weber. That's the compliment.
Oh, I'm batting 1,000 now that Braden walks out of the studio. Everything just falls apart. So, Crispy, let's start here. Obviously, the expansion draft is next week, and people are sort of in a panic. Are we going to lose a great player? So my question is a very vague one, but do you think we would lose anybody in the expansion draft process that would be a huge loss that we can't get past as a team?
No. And I'm not trying to be trite about this. I'm not trying to be coy or anything. But David Poile and Paul Fenton and Peter Laviolette and the staff have built this team well. I heard you guys talking with Dean Evason, the head coach down in Milwaukee, our farm team. And he's done a marvelous job down there filling in the blanks for us and the holes and setting these players up. So, yeah, we're probably going to lose a good player, depending on David Poile. You know, he's one of the best, if not the best GM right now in the NHL. For making deals and moving people around. So we will lose one, but no. I always say this one, and Fred Shiro, my coach, used to say, take a bucket of water and put your hand in it up to your wrist. When you remove it, the hole remains. That's how much you'll be missed. That's when your ego's in bloom. So, no, we We can get it done, guys. Don't worry.
So let's talk a little bit about, having just had Coach Evason on, about the farm system and the fact that I think this is a new experience for Preds fans, because I think for a generation it felt like there weren't going to be natural scorers coming up from Milwaukee. That just wasn't the way the Preds were built under Trotz. Now it feels like guys that are coming in can immediately contribute. Is that just a system difference, or is that the fact that we've got different guys in for this? What really makes the key to that for you?
Probably talent, skill, and I'm going to point to the fact of our scouts, and I know that they get heard about, but not enough accolades for what they do and the winter that they put in and the roads and the miles they put on of looking for the players that you need. And when they have their meetings, they say, okay, what are we looking for besides the best guy out there? What are we looking for? Well, we need more scoring, or we need bigger defensemen or whatever. And they go out and do it, get it to the minors. And you heard Dean Evason say, it's not a magic switch. You just don't hit a button and these guys are all ready to play. Like, you know, they talked about Kamenev. I loved him at training camp. I liked him in the rookie games. But when he got up here, you could still tell he needed some schooling in it. And that's where the minor leagues. I coached in the minor leagues for a couple of years. And your idea is to give them players, to build players. And it's tough because you want to win. You want to win down there. You want to make a reputation. You want a head coaching job. But they tell you when they hire you, your job is to go down there and be a feeder system for our team up here. And if you can win along the way, good luck and God bless.
Well, talk a little bit. You mentioned Kamenev, and it brings to light he's somebody that everybody is enamored with. Is there something? Is there a way you see him coming in and being a contributor early in the season next year?
I sure felt he could. He's big. He's strong. He can skate like the Dickens. Handles the puck, got a big-time shot. I think maybe the only thing, if there's anything holding him back, it'll be his desire to be in the NHL. And if he's got that desire, then he'll be in the NHL because he's got all of the tools, and now he just got to put them all together. Like Dean Evason said, it takes time, and maybe his time is up, we hope.
What is the balance and process now for the guys that are on the roster on getting themselves rested and ready and then actually getting back in the gym and getting ready for next season?
You know what? These athletes today are unbelievable. They amaze me when I go back in our era just to how we train and whatnot. They'll take off a couple of weeks, and well, they should, all of them, and the wives and the girlfriends, and get away from it and leave it alone. But they never get far out of shape. And the biggest thing, everybody knows out there, is weight. If you don't put a lot of weight on, you can get back in shape in a hurry. And most of them have private trainers in the summertime that they go to work with. Or you know what they do now? They all go to these schools. And there's some great schools out there. An ex-player of mine used to run them. I don't know if he still does or not. Gary Roberts. And these guys all get together, go to this school, and the guy works the dickens out of them. So their attitudes now in the off-season is, you know what? When I hit training camp, I better be full tilt and in full good shape because that's my job. And somebody's going to be out there wanting to take my job.
Put yourself in the shoes of Poile and Lavi right now regarding Mike Fisher. Obviously, you want to give him the time he needs to make the best decision. But what are you doing in the meantime? Are you sort of preparing for the what if, or are you just literally giving him that space and time?
They're doing both. They're quietly saying, okay, if Mike doesn't come back and makes a decision or whatever, what's our alternatives here? Do we do the trade route? Do we do it the promotions from Milwaukee? Do we have guys here? And they'll have looked at every scenario there is. And I think Mike, knowing the class guy and person that he is, he won't hang them out to dry on a long, drawn-out will I or won't I. He'll just want to take some time now, a couple of weeks, whatever it is, and do it. But it'll be, I just hope, and I'm hoping, and I'm greedy, that Mike does come back and be our captain, because he is needed not only on the ice, but mainly in the dressing room and with the young players and the way he handles his teammates. We need him.
Crispy, we've been giving a lot of congratulations to Coach Phil Housley, obviously going to Buffalo. Fantastic thing for him and his family. But what's it mean for the Preds next year, and do you think there's any sort of succession plan in mind?
Yeah, there will be. Lav's been through it before. He's been a head coach, knows it is. David Poile certainly, and Paul Fenton certainly know who they have out there, what they want. When I was a head coach and had to pick assistant coaches, if one of them left or got promoted, you always have a person in mind. Now, a lot of times when you ask that person, they'll say, no, thank you, I'm comfortable where I am, or no, I'm not ready yet, or I don't want to give up my head job in the AHL. You're looking ahead because the only thing and the worst thing you do is to get blindsided and have a vacant hole there. They're going to miss Coach Housley. Let's be honest. I mean, I watch Coach and Kevin McCarthy and Lab worked together, and they were a good, solid team. And Housley was always, if you ever noticed Housley, always talking with the young guys on the ice, at practice, off the ice, on the buses, on the planes, in the hotel lobbies. He had a great rapport, and that's what Buffalo probably mainly is going to expect from him, besides the fact that he's a damn good coach.
I mean, could you make the argument, given the how solid this defensive core is here and given the run that this team just had, that this is about the most appealing job you could wish for if you're looking for that kind of job?
Yeah, exactly. The team is now – and you heard some of the guys talking and some of the management. The players before, when they used to have some guys come available, some of the more elite players, Nashville, I want to win a cup. Nashville, they're a nice place, nice bunch, but no, I want to go. Now you can hear the guys saying, yeah, Nashville is a legitimate team. Yeah, I'd go to Nashville. My wife will love it. My family will love it. It's a great city. They've got wonderful fans down there. They've proven that. Sure, I'll come to your team. That's the level we're at right now. That's the level that they've built up here, David Poile and the coaching staff, and our fans and our city a big part of that too, guys.
Well, and let me ask you, on the heels of that, does that make us a bigger player in free agency this year, or does the plan stay the same there?
No, David Poile won't go too far off the track on what he wanted in the free agency and what he can give up and what he can get. And David Poile has always looked at the end of it as, is the guy we're bringing in going to fit in with our team? And you heard, guys, for 15 years, it's got to be the Predator way. And the Predator way was you got to be class. And if you're going to come in here, you got to be a class act. And David Poile is not going to stray from that.
Crispy, I love talking to you every Friday. It's one of the highlights of my week, I promise. Terry Crisp, brought to you by Global Motorsports and Bellmead and Cool Springs, GlobalMotorsportsInc.com. Also, Rodizio Grill, the Brazilian steakhouse on historic 2nd Avenue, downtown Nashville. Crispy, always a pleasure, man. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, thank you, guys, anytime, and I probably won't be with you again. So to all of our fans out there, again, thank you all for the wonderful season, the wonderful sport you have. And you and all your family, stay healthy, and we'll see you back next fall at training camp. Thanks a million for a wonderful, wonderful journey together.
Thanks, Crispy. Always great stuff. Crispy can still call in whenever he wants. The difference is now he's going to have to wait on hold instead of getting a special line. But Crispy, you can always call in. We'll break it down. He mentioned something that I think is really
key. You mean Pete Weber.
No, I'm never going to live that one down. That is my fault. I'm Ron Burgundy. He gave us the key to what I think is the biggest piece of what we will miss with Phil Housley. We'll talk about that next on Braden and Fitz, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. You're listening to Braden and Fitz live from the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. of Mount Juliet. Don't forget, it's that time again. Sign up for the Michelob Ultra Foursome Golf Contest. Michelob Ultra, MAPCO, and the Game Nashville giving one lucky winner and three friends a chance to experience the Ultra Foursome at four prestigious golf courses in Middle Tennessee, as well as passes to the Nashville Golf Open. To sign up, visit thegamenashville.com/Michelob Ultra Foursome. Basically, if you haven't figured this out yet, just visit thegamenashville.com and everything's there. Also, don't forget, we have an app out there. If you just search for the Game Nashville app, you can get all of the content. So if you missed any of this morning's show, you can get to all of it on demand. Been a great show, obviously, throughout the morning as we've broken down a little bit of Louisville and a lot of the fight, the upcoming fight, and some great interviews. And then Dean Evason fantastically joined us at the top of this hour, Milwaukee Admirals head coach. So it raises a real conversation about Phil Housley. And here's the thing. You could take a couple of different looks at this. When it comes to replacing Phil Housley, I think earlier in the show, Braden made a really good point. The fact is there's a strong, there's a solid, there's a fantastic defensive core here for this team. The top four for this team are amazing players. It's the strength of this team. And then when you start to look at the next guys, you have to look at the fact that they just decided to give Yannick Weber a raise and bring him back into the fold. So they have to feel good about that. Plus, there are prospects in Milwaukee that they feel good about. And historically, this team has drafted well when it comes specifically to that position. So when you need a defenseman, all the way back to the beginning, no matter what the style has been, David Poile has shown that he can find that guy. Okay, so you look at that and you say, that's a position of strength. Now, to that, when we were just talking to Terry Crisp, don't call me Pete Weber, Terry Crisp. When we were just talking to Crispy, he pointed out, obviously, that through this process, coaches are going to want to come here because of that core. So when you talk about replacing Phil Housley, you have to look at his two main responsibilities. Defenseman, okay. Well, now you're looking at it and saying, that's a huge strength to this team. So if you are a defensive-minded coach, you want to come coach PK Subban. You want to come coach Ryan Ellis. you want to come coach these guys. Why? Because of the way they play, and it's been the strength. You've seen it covered throughout the entire season. Now, a weakness for this team that especially reared its head towards the end of the Stanley Cup final, but was really a problem throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs at times, the power play. That was the other half of Coach Housley's responsibilities. So what it says to me is when you're looking at your list of replacement coaches, Crispy mentioned it. Most coaches have sort of a bunch of names on a short list. I mentioned it earlier that one of my jobs as a band leader for a touring country artist was to make sure that I had a list at every position. So we had, for example, our drummer had a baby. He needed to miss a couple of shows. Well, it's my job to get a drummer in there. They can fill those shows, get them rehearsed up, and make sure that the drummer's capable of doing it. You know, it's my job when we landed after a long run on the road, when a guitar player walked up to me and said, you know what? I don't want to tour this much. I quit. And so it was my job quickly to be able to find another guitar player. So obviously, when you talk about David Poile, when you talk about LaViolette, they've got their list. That's part of their function. But when they look up and down that list, I think what would make sense is to look for a defensive power play type coach with a real strength towards the power play, because that seems to be an area of weakness for this team. Now, we can talk all day long about the fact that the power play was run efficiently. At least that's what they continued to tell us. The power play was run the right way, but it didn't get the results that we wanted. So either they've got to tweak the system or they've got to find a better way to maximize the players in the system. So when it comes to replacing Coach Phil Housley, I think that there's two parts of this. One, you want a strong power play coach that is also defensive-minded. And then also through that process, you've got to keep in mind that much like free agents are going to want to come play in Nashville, coaches want to come coach this group of players. It's no different than if you're a quarterback coach and you get a call and somebody says, hey, you want to come coach in Indianapolis? You're like, yeah, I want to work with Andrew Luck. You want to come work in Tennessee? Yeah, I want to work with Marcus Mariota. I know several coaches off the record that when the Raiders started their turnaround, they had no interest in coaching for the Raiders or working with the Raiders until all of a sudden Derek Carr started to play well. And then it's like, hey, they got a quarterback there. That would be a great situation. That is the hockey equivalent of what Coach Housley and that position now means for the Predators. At the same time, the toughest part of this equation to replace is the personality. And it's one thing that stood out to me from the get-go. When we started going to practices, when this show first launched in September, we went to our first practice, you could feel the camaraderie, the connection specifically that Coach Housley has with these guys. You could feel that he was sort of the relatable guy. I think most coaching staffs would agree that there's sort of a good cop, bad cop, you know, and that there's the coach that you can go to when you want to vent, and there's the coach that's just going to vent at you. You know, so finding the right balance on your coaching staff is key. And it always felt to me like that Phil Housley was a key part of the balance that sort of was the dad figure, the father figure that they could go to and just talk to. Crispy mentioned it, that even on the flights in the hotel rooms, especially with the young players, what's Housley doing? One-on-ones, talking to them, relating to them. Finding a way to maximize their sort of comfort in that moment, because when players are comfortable, they play better, right? When players feel like they're being heard, most of them play better. That's a very specific role, especially when there was a reputation that we've learned, I think, in Nashville was probably unwarranted, but there's been a big reputation around LaViolette as being sort of the type of coach that can wear players down with his message over time. I think it's key that he had assistant coaches and has assistant coaches, Kevin McCarthy, much the same way, that very relatable to the players. By the players being able to relate to that coach, it sort of bridges that it creates a bridge between head coach and player. When you're mad at your head coach, you still got this guy over here you can go to. I think that's key, and that's important, especially in an up-and-down season. If you look at an up-and-down season like the Preds had during the regular season, you have to sort of look at it on the one hand and say, why was it up-and-down? But on the other hand, you have to look at it and say, how did the people in charge of this team find a way to maximize this team through the ups and downs? How do you pull them out of a drought? And I think a lot of that is knowing what buttons to push when. We talk about it all the time with the head coach, but on hockey staffs particularly, when you have three coaches, you just lost one-third of your coaching. I don't think it's irreplaceable. I just think that the focus is going to be more than just on the skill set. It's also going to be on the personality. This would be the equivalent of if the Titans had three total coaches, Malarkey and an offensive coordinator and a defensive coordinator. If all they had was Malarkey, Rubisky, and Dick LeBeau, and in this situation, Dick LeBeau quits, that's an epic loss. So the question is, how do you replace it? The interesting part for me is that I don't think the challenge in replacing it is necessarily going to be on the ice. I think that the biggest thing that they have to find a way to replace is the personality and the connection that he had with the players, from push-ups on the ice that they were doing practice during practice, to joking around with them, to being a guy that connects to the veterans and to the young guys. That's a key part of why Phil Housley has gotten the job with Buffalo, and why Buffalo fans are so excited for what he brings, a Hall of Fame defenseman coming off of a Stanley Cup run with one of the best defensive cores in the league. If I'm a fan of the Sabres, I'm pumped for this hire. If I'm a fan of the Predators, the part of this loss that concerns me the most has nothing to do with what the guys do on the skates. It has everything to do with what the guys accomplish off the ice. Mike Fisher talked about it at his end-of-the-year press conference. So many guys have talked about it. They're proud of who this team is on and off the ice. Phil Housley is a huge part of that. And replacing Phil Housley, the personality, is going to be every bit as important as replacing Phil Housley, the coach. When we come back on Braden and Fitz, it is time to go unfiltered, and we're going to go unfiltered on the vacating of titles. We will do that next up. Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game.